Amen. Amen. That was good. That was good. But can we make some noise for Jesus in this place? Amen. Come on, y'all could do better than that. We're talking about Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Grateful just to even know God. He's been such a pillar in my life, and I'm so grateful for what he's been doing in this season. And is anybody just grateful that God has just covered and watched over them? Am I the only one? Does anybody else just know that God has just been so faithful? Amen. And for those who are still in their waiting season, just hold on. Just hold on. He's a good father. He's faithful. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited and glad to be here. Cameraman, just know that I'm going to keep walking. It's what I do. So just get ready, whoever's on the camera. God is so good and he's so faithful. And I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about what God has been doing here at Central. He's just been moving. And I mean, you just got to buckle up and just get ready for the ride. Amen. Come on. It's so good. Been loving the weather as well this week. Anybody go out Friday, Saturday? I tell you what, my family, we were in Silver Dollar City. Oh, yes. We went there Friday and Saturday. And Friday, we got there around 12. We got there. The first ride that we got on was called the Powder Keg. Oh, I felt that. I felt that in my spirit. Okay. Okay, Powder Keg. Now, I like Powder Keg. Powder Keg goes from 0 to 53 miles per hour in 2.8 seconds. Yes, that is my new favorite ride. Absolutely. So my family, we get on this ride. All of us are on this ride. We get on. We have a good time. We're up, down, fast. Woo, so good. So then it comes to the point where, you know, the ride goes all the way around. Then it has to come back, and it's getting ready to stop. But then when we got to the ending of it, we heard somebody say on the intercom, said, excuse me, we've had some malfunctions with the ride. And I'm thinking to myself, and I started praying in tongues. The devil is a lie. He is. And so they're like, oh, no, what's going on? And he was like, well, it's nothing too big. But now because of this problem, we now have to manually get you guys out the ride. Now, it was cool. We didn't have to walk long. We were just pretty much just right there. So he comes, grab the ladder, and he's coming seat by seat, row by row, getting everybody out the seat. I was like, thank you, Jesus. So we get off the ride, and we do what everybody else does, right? You get off the ride, you start talking about your experience. Your experience. So I asked my family, what did you like about the ride? Asked my wife, she said, you know what, I didn't care too much about the speed, but the loop-de-loops were cool. I like the loops. Asked Brooklyn, she was like, Dad, I didn't care about the loops either, but I had a good time. So did Coda. So then when I asked Caleb, I said, Caleb, what did you like about the ride? He said, Dad, what I liked about this ride was the fact that when the ride broke down, they knew how to help us. I said, son, that's preachable. That's preachable, son. Can I share my assignment this morning? My assignment is to encourage some and remind others that we have a heavenly Father that is here to help. Can I get an amen on that one? We have a heavenly Father that is here to help. In moments where you feel like your life is breaking down, you feel stuck. I believe I'm speaking to somebody today. I feel the Holy Spirit in here. When you feel stuck, know that we have a heavenly Father that is here to help. One of the verses that I find very helpful can be found in Psalms 121. And it says, I will lift my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? Then he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. It's in this place, which is a good thing because where your spirit is, there is freedom. So, Father, I thank you. I pray that we will be open to what it is that you want to do today. God, you are a God that is you desire to help your people. So right now, God, I pray that you will have our hearts ready to receive. And if I be honest, God, we know there are moments where you stretched out your hand and sometimes we pushed your hand away. So God, would you forgive us for the moments where you tried to help, but we wasn't ready. But we say now, God, we're ready, we're open, and we want to hear from you that you would move in a mighty way. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to share with you a moment in my life where I needed some help. I was young at this time. I was going to the third grade. At the time, my family and I were living in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Nice and warm. It was summertime, and all the kids were going out by the pool to play. Had three other brothers, all my friends, and at the time, I couldn't swim. I could swim now, but I couldn't swim at the time. So mom was like, you can go to the pool. So I grabbed my floaties, put them on, jump in the pool. I'm chilling. I'm chilling. Swimming. And now as we're swimming, my friends in the pool, mind you, my brothers are in the pool, and I'm watching them swim. I'm like, okay, they put this hand, that hand, kick, kick, kick. This hand, that hand, kick, kick, kick. And I'm like, all right, I got this. And so I get this idea, very courageous, bold, slightly dumb, to take my floaties off and attempt to swim without my floaties. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. So that's what I do. I get out the pool, I take off the floaties, then I run over to the deep end. And I jumped in. And in that moment, I'm thinking, okay, swim, 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 kick, 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 arms, feet, arms, feet, arms, feet. But it did not work. It did not work. And I start sinking to the bottom. And I'm at the bottom of the pool. And I remember feeling so scared, so afraid, feeling so helpless. And I'm thinking to myself, surely my brothers are going to come here and save me. Surely my friends that say they love me, they got my back, surely they're going to jump in here and save me. But I'm sitting there, and all I could do was wait and hold my breath. And that's where I was, just sitting there waiting, holding my breath, waiting for someone. And as I'm sitting there, I kind of open up my eyes just a little bit, because at that time, I was still feeling like sharks was in the pool, you know? I was believing that, so just a little bit. But then suddenly, as I'm sitting there, I see this figure jump in the pool. It's the lifeguard. He jumps in, he grabs me, and he pulls me out. I'm crying, snotting, all that stuff. But I wanted to share this story with you guys because I know and I believe that some of you are in a season right now where you feel like you're drowning. And you feel helpless. Like, God, where is my help coming from? You're sitting there and you're waiting and you're wondering, God, who is going to jump in to save me? And I'm here as a reminder to encourage you that we have a heavenly Father that is here to help. Can I get an amen? Amen. He is here to help. He is here to help. So while you're waiting, while you're wondering, know that he is here to help. Now, help by definition means to assist or to aid. When someone is in need of help, they are usually in lack of support or resources or assistance. So when I was drowning, I didn't just need anybody. I needed someone that would be effective. So if my brothers were to jump in, them being the same height and stature, they probably would not be able to get me out. It wouldn't have been effective help. If my friends were to jump in, being the same height and stature, they probably wouldn't have been able to swim strong enough to get me out. I didn't just need help, but I needed help that would be effective. I'm here to encourage and remind you that the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, when he helps us, it is effective. And you don't have to worry
Ah, that's love right there. So I want to talk about this word, help, and I love preaching and teaching with acronyms. It just helps me to remember a little bit. So I want to dive in. If you got your Bible, go to Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28, and we're going to read. Y'all with me? Amen. All right. All right. And it says, when Jesus left there, he withdrew to an area of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, the Canaanite woman from that region came and kept crying out. And this is what she said, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. And this is why she said that. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon. Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples approached him and urged him, send her away because she's crying out after us. And Jesus replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came, knelt before him, and said, Lord, help me. And he answered, it isn't right that I take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was what? Healed. Come on, say it like that's your daughter, your son. From that moment, she was what? She was healed. May we be people of great faith. Great faith. Keep trusting and praying. Great faith. So this brings me to the first letter of our word, help, which is H, which stands for healing. And sometimes receiving your healing and help means having faith that goes beyond the boundaries. Having faith that goes beyond boundaries. Sometimes we set up boundaries in our own minds. It's the human thinking which in some ways can limit us when God desires to launch us. Human thinking sometimes can limit when God says, nope, this is actually the moment I'm trying to launch you. Because if you be honest and real with me, now in your brokenness, this is the most time I've seen you pray. It's the most time that I heard you call from me, and I know it hurts, but it's going to hurt for a moment because I'm trying to launch you in this season. But we got to break through and start limiting our thinking. Faith that goes beyond the boundaries. The daughter's help came when her mother's faith broke through the boundaries. I pray that that will be us today, that we will break through the lies, break through everything that the enemy would try to use against you. Breakthrough. Amen. Now, I want to say this. Now, not experiencing the healing we desire does not mean our faith was not great. We know that there are times when healing does not look like we thought it would, but that does not mean it will not happen. Y'all hear me? Whether we experience it here on earth or in heaven, our God is still a healer. Amen? Our God is still a healer. So let's keep moving on. Amen. Letter E stands for encouragement. Somebody say encouragement. That's it. That's it. Thinking about this story, I'm sure the woman left this incredible interaction with Jesus feeling extremely encouraged. But I'm also positive that it didn't start that way. I can only imagine the discouragement after praying for so many days and so many hours and yet seeing her daughter still tormented, still not having the peace, still seeing things weren't changing. But can I encourage you, parents, don't give up. Keep praying. Because what I love at the end of the story, where Jesus says, woman, your faith is great. Your faith is great. So I can only imagine by the end of this interaction that she felt encouraged, knowing that her tears, knowing that her prayers, Her tears and her prayers were not in vain. So I thank you, Father, we thank you that you bring us encouragement, God, when we feel like we are lost. Amen. So what I also love is that he brings clarity to our confusion. Yes, he does. He brings clarity when we have questions of why me? God, why did I have to deal with this sickness? Why did it have to be me with the disease? And when are things going to change? What am I supposed to do about this, God? It's not making sense. And who, again, God, who's supposed to help me out? My prayer is that we would take this time, and when you're feeling confused, that we would take action. You say, Pastor Chris, what's the action that we need to take? Really simple. When we start to pause and pray. Just pause and pray. If we neglect to pause and pray, to be encouraged by the truths of God's word, we then create space for the lies of the enemy to break us down, leave us feeling discouraged. So we got to pause and pray. Pause and pray. All right, let's keep moving forward. The letter L represents love. So not only is our Heavenly Father here to help us through healing and encouragement, but we also see and know how effective our Father's love for us is by his great love. He sent his son, come on, his only son. Let's go to 1 John 4 and 9. And his word says, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He says, dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is made complete in us. Amen. Amen. So I'll put it like this. How he loves us is how we should love others. How he loves us is how we should love others. Our Heavenly Father cares for us. We should be caring for others. He encourages us. We should be encouraging others. He has sacrificed for us. So we should be sacrificing in our gifts, our talents, and sometimes even our treasures for others. How he loves us is how we should love others. And sometimes God uses us in inconvenient times to get his work accomplished. 2 weeks ago, I know we were doing Walk the Last Week, and it was a very busy time, especially we had Fine Arts a few days before. And that week on that Monday, you know, we had communion. And so right after communion, I had to go to my kids. They had a basketball celebration. And I was like, oh, I can't miss that. It was their first year playing basketball. It was my first year coaching. So I had to make sure I was there. So I call an Uber, and Uber comes up, grab my phone, jump in the car, text my wife, hey, babe, I'm on the way. Communion was good. You know, I'll be there in a moment. And so I close it. I'm sitting down, kind of relaxing. And I'm like, man, God, I'm tired. But I also feel God pressing on me. He's like, hey, man, I need you. I'm like, all right, Lord, I know what that means. It's time to minister. All right. He said, but I don't want you to do too much talking. I just kind of want you to listen. So I'm sitting there in the back seat. And the guy, my driver, he kind of, you know, when they want to talk to you, they start moving the mirror. Like, bro, really? So he's like, hey, man, where you going? Where you going? Where you from? Where you going to? I'm like, hey, man, I was just at the church. We have walked the last week. I invited him out. Like, man, we'd love to have you. You know, we're just having small talk. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're a pastor? Because I let him know I was a youth pastor. He's like, you're a pastor? I was like, yeah. And he's like, wow, that's interesting. You're like the third or fourth pastor or minister that I've picked up today. I said, oh, really? I said, well, it sounds like God really wants to talk to you. He said, And I knew it was about to get real because he did that men, that, you know, that huff that we do.
like I knew it was about to get real. And so he was like, man, get out of here. I was like, what you mean get out? Bro, I just got in. I'm not going nowhere. He's like, no, I can't believe. He was like, I can't believe you're a pastor. I was like, okay. So he started talking to me, and he's just letting me know everything that he's been going through. He's like, man, I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of struggling, going through a divorce. I'm trying to figure out how to be a single dad. I've kind of backslid. And, you know, I just felt like God was like, Chris, I just want you to pour. Just pour. Just love on him, man. Just encourage him. And that's what I did. Just being there. And so I would get to my spot. I hop out the car, grab my thing, get ready to close the door. And he was like, hey. I was like, what's up, man? He's like, you are a very interesting individual. Now, I'm thinking that could be either really good or really bad. I was like, hey, man, you know what? Thank you. God loves you. Praying for you. And he was like, man, you're the kind of guy that I want to be around. And I was like, man, I tell you what, I love God sets up things and divine appointments. Just know that you're loved, man, and God cares. And then he kind of drove off. And that brings me to this right here. My prayer is that we don't get caught up in our own paths, that we miss out on the people that God has called us to minister to. Don't get so stuck on the path of where you're going. Kind of look around and see the people of God that he's placed right there. I love what Dr. Tony Evans says. He put it like this. The quickest way for God to get you where he wants you is for you to be able to be used where he has you. Oh, my God. That's good. So with this question, I ask you, can God count on you not to count other people out? Can God count on you not to count other people out? Not to put them labels just because somebody else says something about that person? But can you pray and seek God and say, God, how can I minister? God, how can I help this person? God, how can I pray for this person through your eyes? Let me see them the way you see them. Come on, may we pray and love God because he loves us. Amen, church. Let's keep going. We've discussed how effective God's help is through healing, encouragement, and his love for us. So let's finish off with his power. Let's go to Luke 10:19. And it says, look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing at all will harm you. Nothing will harm you. Our Heavenly Father helps us by giving us his true followers the power over the enemy. We are empowered over adversity. So what we need to understand is that there is a spiritual power for spiritual battles that we face. He's equipped us. You are equipped. He gives us a spiritual battle, a power for spiritual battles. And can I say, if you've ever come to my house and you see me chilling on the couch, I'm probably watching Animal Planet. I love Animal Planet. I'll sit there, watch some Shark Week. You know, Africa's best tiger, lion, whatever it is. I love watching animals. And I remember one time I was watching the snakes. Anybody like snakes? Okay, I felt that. So I'm watching the snake, specifically the python. And I was watching as it attacked the prey. And it had him in the grip, the animal had it in the grip, and it began to take its body and just wrap it around and squeezing the life out of it. And every time the animal would breathe, it would get tighter. It would get tighter and tighter. Can I tell you that Jesus has given us the power through the Holy Spirit over every evil spirit assigned to take the life out of you, to take the life out of your joy? You may be sitting here like, man, God, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel like my joy is just draining. Your hope, come on. He's given us the power, even over your destiny. Some of you are going through, even now, and you're feeling like, God, I just feel like I'm lost. I'm not sure what my assignment is. Could it be that it's been an attack from the enemy that he's placed on you? So don't get weary. Don't get weary, because we have a Heavenly Father that is here to do what? Help. He's here to help. Worship team, you can call him. Come on up. He's here to help. The woman knew who to come to for her daughter's healing. And can I tell you that power is still available today? It's still here. And may we walk in his power and that authority. We don't have to be weary. I know sometimes we go through situations in life where we feel hopeless. We feel like we're in our alone. We feel like we're drowning. And it's in those moments where we need to pause and we pray, God, I know what your word says. You never leave me, nor will you forsake me. So I encourage you to keep praying. And I want to leave with this story. This last story, I was able to witness God move in a family's life. I saw him, how he healed, encouraged, brought love, and the power of God really just exploded. My wife and I, before we came here, we lived in Georgia, and we were youth pastors. While there, we connected with two other pastors named Zach and Amy. Now, Amy was dealing with a disease called cystic fibrosis, and she was told by the doctor that she had little to no chance of carrying a child full term. And what happened was my wife and I, we connected with them, and we decided to do a youth retreat collaboration. So my wife would talk to Amy, and then she would come and let me know the details. Well, one day, on a Thursday, right after Wednesday night service for the kids, I'm sitting in the sanctuary, just putting up the chairs. Putting the chairs back. And as I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit gave me this vision where I saw a hand on a belly. Never saw the face. I saw a hand on a pregnant woman's belly. And I'm like, okay, God, what does that mean? But then I felt a push to a pull, a nudge, or whatever you want to call it, to call my wife. And I called my wife and I said, honey, do you know if Amy is dealing with anything, sickness or anything like that? And she was like, no, she hasn't said anything. But we agreed that we would pray about it. And that's what we did. So fast forward to the retreat night. And it was the night that the Holy Spirit came and tore it up. I mean, his presence was everywhere. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere and not feel his presence. It was that strong. And so the Lord brought it back to my remembrance about the vision between Zach and Amy. And I went and I said, hey, Zach, do you mind if I share what God showed me? And he's like, yeah. So I told him what I saw. And he was like, oh, my gosh. And then he began to tell me an encounter that he had. And he told me that one night he was at his church sitting in, I don't know, some room, but he was the only one there. And he said he heard a little child laugh. He said, I'm gonna be honest with you, at first I was kind of scared. You've seen the movies like that. But he heard a child laugh. But as he's telling me that, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me that I was getting him ready for what I was getting ready to do in his life. I know that the doctor said it was impossible, but see, I'm the God of the impossible. I can heal. And so what happened next? We brought Zach and Amy down to the altar, and everybody came together, and we just prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. We laid hands, and we just started pulling on heaven. We pulled and prayed. So we left, and about 2 months later, I get a text from Zach. He said, hey, bro, guess what? I'm like, what, man? He said, bro, we're pregnant. And we got a picture, if you guys want to put that up there. They got pregnant. Come on, that's baby Charlie right there. Miracle, miracle. You can't tell me our God is not good. You can't tell me he's not faithful. Keep pressing. I don't know what it is that you're praying for. What you're in need of. Is it healing? He has it. Encouragement? He's got you. Love? Oh, that's what he does. Power? Receive it. Church, can we just stand to our feet? Hallelujah. My God, his presence is all in this room. Can we just lift our hands up right here? Lift your hands all over this place, all over this place. Just press in. Come on. You don't got to wait for me. Just begin to flow. Father, we thank you right now. The worship team's getting ready to sing a song, but you pray. Let them hear from your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus.